Okay, today's daf is Midos Daf Lamed Zayin. This is the last daf in Seder Kachim, and today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to continue Be'ezras Hashem in the fourth parak describing the Heichal. We're going to describe the Ta'im, which were these rooms that surrounded the Heichal, and we're really just going to go through the measurements of the and how everything added up to the overall measurements of the area of the Heichal and the surrounding area to the Heichal and the entire Azara really as well. And that's really what the last parak is going to discuss, is the measurements of the Azara and the various Lashachos that they had inside, that we had inside of the Azara. So Be'ez Hashem will go through all of that, and that will bring us to the end of Meseches Midos. So around the Heichal, the first thing we're going to talk about, we're up to Mishnah Gimel on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Around the Heichal, there were what was called Ta'im. Ta'im were these smaller rooms that were used to keep the silver, the gold, and anything else that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. And they didn't go, and they went around the sides of the Heichal, but not the full height of the Heichal, meaning the full height of the Ta'im was less than 40 amos. The gova of the Heichal, the height of the Heichal itself, was 40 amos. The Mishnah is going to describe. There were 38 ta'im around the Heichal. Chamisha asar batzafon. There were 15 on the northern side of the Heichal. Chamisha asar batarom. Corresponding 15 on the southern side of the Heichal. Ushmona b'marav. And on the back wall, so to speak, on the furthest as you went in further to the west, there were 8 on the marav, on the western wall of the Heichal. Shabbatzafon v'shabbatarom. The ones that were in the north and the south were Chamisha al Gabi Chamisha. The Ta'im were built on 3 levels. It was Chamisha al Gabi Chamisha and Chamisha al Gabehem. It was 3 levels of 5 each, and that's how you got 15 on each side. V'shebemarav, Shlosh al Gabi Shlosha. But with the ones in the west, there were only 8 in total, so it was 3 on the bottom level, 3 on the middle level, Ushnaim al Gabehem, and then 2 Ta'im on top of them on the third level, and that's how you got to the 8. And that filled the entire length of the walls of the Heichal, meaning there was no empty space on the walls of the Heichal. There were ta'im all the way around the full Heichal. Ushlosh upsachma yilukal echad ve'echad, and each one of the ta'im had 3 entranceways. Echad da'atamei yamin, one to get to the ta that was next door. Ve'echad da'atamei small, one to get to the ta on the other side, the one that was next door on the other side. And echad da'atah shal gabav, and one to get to the ta that was on top of it, that they would have a ladder that would go, or a staircase that would go up to the ta that was on top of it as well. Tos Yontif points out that when we say that all of them had 3, they had like a windy staircase to get to the one top, but when we say that all of them had 3 entranceways, it can't literally mean all of them. It meant most of them had 3 entranceways, because there were the ta'im in the corners that didn't have 2 neighboring ta'im, meaning if 2 of the entranceways, one for the ta on the right and one for the one on the left, what if you didn't have one on the right or you didn't have one on the left? So then that was minus one entranceway. And also the ta'im that were on the third floor, they didn't have an entranceway that went al-gabam. Even though they did have one on the floor, that one apparently doesn't count, because then the ones in the mid-level would have had 4 entranceways. So apparently the fact that there's a way into it on the, through the floor, that apparently doesn't count. So Tos Yontif says, you have to say that when we say that each of them had 3, it meant that was the typical amount, but obviously it wasn't necessarily so for all of them. Ubekeren Mizrachas Tzvonis Hayu Chamisha Pesachim. In the northeastern side of the Heichal, where they would go in to open up the gates of the Heichal, there were 5 Pesachim. Echad ha'atah min hayamin, one entrance way was to the ta that was closest to the right side, ve'echad ha'atah shal gabav, and one to the ta that was on top of it, ve'echad ha'masiba, one was open to the masiba, which is the ma'ala that they would go up to the staircase that they would go up to the roof of the ta'im, which was on the northern side of the ta, ve'echad ha'pishpash, and one was open to the Pishpash, which was a small gate that they had next to the gate of the Heichal. So there was a Pesach in the wall of the Ta that was at the end of that Pesach was a Pishpash that was which was a small gate. Ve'echal the Heichal, and one was opened up to the Heichal itself. So that's the description of the Ta'im and that area. Hatachtona, the bottom row of Ta'im, Chamisha, was 5 amos wide. Verovad Shisha, and then the ceiling on top of the bottom row of Ta'im, on top of the first floor, was 6 amos of wide, meaning not 6 amos top to bottom, 6 amos across. So even though the Ta, from one end of the room to the other end of the room, was only 5 amos, the ceiling on top of it was 6 amos, because the wall of the Heichal narrowed right above the Ta. It narrowed by 1 amma. So since the wall of the Heichal narrowed by 1 amma, once it's 5 amos off the ground, so that left an extra amma of ceiling space that needed to be filled in, so it was 6 amos of area on top, and it continued to narrow on top of each Ta, and that's what the Mishnah is going to describe. So Atachtonu was Chamisha, but Verovat Shisha. The ceiling on top of it was... When we say the ceiling on top, it means the floor of the ta on the second floor, right? The ta on the second floor is going to have a 6 amma is going to be 6 amos from end to end, because the wall of the heichal goes in by another amma. So the ta, which is built into the wall of the heichal, is now going to have an extra amma of space. Vayim tzais, the ta on the middle level was therefore shisha amos, right? It was shisha verovad, and the ceiling on top of it, meaning the floor of the ta on the third level, is sheva, and therefore ve'aliona sheva, the ta on the third level is 7 amos. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in the Beis Hamikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built in Sefer Malachim, the pasuk says hayetzia tachtona chamesh pa'ama rachva. Right, we have three descriptions of Batei Mikdash. We have in Sefer Malachim the description of the Beis Hamikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built, in Sefer Yecheskel the description of the third Beis Hamikdash, and in Maseches Midos the description of the second Beis Hamikdash. So in the and they weren't all identical, but there are comparisons that are made between one and the other, and there are certain things that obviously are consistent from one to the other. But the pasuk in describing the Bayis Rishon says Hayetzia Tachtona Chamesh Ba'ama Rachba VaHatichona Sheish Ba'ama Rachba VaShlishis Sheva Ba'ama Rachba, and that's what it's describing. It's describing the three levels of Ta'im, that the bottom level of Ta'im was 5 amos wide, the second level of Ta'im was 6 amos wide, and the third level of Ta'im was 7 amos wide. So that went around the entire Heichal with that width. Okay, Mishnah Hay. So the height of the Heichal, we're going to see in the next Mishnah, is 100 amos. But the Heichal itself, that's from the outside. The Heichal itself was not 100 amos tall from the inside. There was an aliyah that was built on top of the Heichal, the second floor on top of the Heichal. So we're going to discuss now how they went to the aliyah on top of the Heichal and how they went to the Gag HaAliyah. So the Heichal itself was very tall, 40 amos is very, very tall, obviously. But then on top of that, there was an aliyah, there was a second floor, and on top of that, there was a gag. So umasibahai, so there was a very narrow ramp that was olam mikaren mizrachis tzvonis lekaren tzvonis ma'aravis, that ran along the northern side of the heichal. It went from the east and northeast corner all the way to the northwest corner, because it was a ramp, so it obviously goes gradual, so you have to go all the way across to the west in order to get to the top of the ramp. Shabaha yu olin legagos ha-ta'im, that's where they would get to the rooftops of the ta'im to see if it needed needed any tikkun, if there was anything that needed to be fixed, and it was v'haya olah b'masiba upon of lemarav. So the Mishnah just describes when someone went up to the aliyah of the heichal, where he was facing and how he would go. So he'd go up this ramp and facing west, because the ramp runs from east to west. So obviously you're facing west; you're not walking backwards. You're walking straight, so you're facing west, going up the ramp. And then when you got to the to the top of the ramp, so halach al kol pnei atzafon, or as you were going up the ramp, rather, you were going all along the northern side, because as we said, it runs along the northern side from east to west. So you're facing west, going up a ramp all along the northern side. Until you got to the westernmost point of the northern side, which is the top of the ramp, Higia Lamarav, once you got to that point, to the westernmost point, Hafach Panav Ladorum, you then turned to the south. And halach klape marav. Now to go southward, once you're at the westernmost point, means you're going along the western side of the heichal, because you have arrived at the western side, and now you're going along that wall. So you're going toward the south on the western side of the heichal. Achu megil adarum, until you got all the way to the south. Higia ladarum, when you got all the way to the south, hafach panav lemizrach, you would then turn toward the east. Hayimahalich badarum, and then you would walk along the southern side, achu magia lepischa shel aliyah, till you got to the opening of the aliyah of the heichal. Shepischa shel aliyah pasuach klape adarum. The pesach of the aliyah was opened, was in the southern wall of the aliyah. So to get to the pesach of the aliyah, you had to go up this ramp and go all the way around, and then you can get to the pesach that would take you to the aliyah. Ubepischa shel aliyah hayu shtei klunasos shel erez. And by the pesach of the aliyah, there were these two giant wooden beams, these cedar wood beams, and each one had these little cutouts in them for a person to put their feet, because it had to function as a ladder. Shebeheno yu olin legago shel aliyah. And on that ladder, they would go up on these beams. They would climb these beams to get to the gag of the aliyah. V'rashi pispasin mavdil ba'aliyah beit hakodesh levin kodshei hakodashim. Now, once you're on the rooftop, once you're on the aliyah is the second floor. Once you're on top of the aliyah, you're on the rooftop. So it's a flat roof, so you wouldn't notice when you're in the airspace that's above the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they had to make a marker to let you know, just like we learned in a couple of places where they had rooms that were just one room but had multiple levels of Kedusha to divide between the Ezros Yisrael and the Makom Ragle Hiluch Ragle HaKohanim, the Ezros HaKohanim, that there were places where Yisrael couldn't go. So they had to mark a pish, they had to make these little markers in the ground, these pispasin in the ground, to make sure that you don't step over there, or as we had in the Lishcha Sagazis, that half of the Lishcha Sagazis was Benuya B'chol and half was Benuya B'kodesh. So in order that a person shouldn't violate Yeshiva Ba'azara, they needed these pispas in the ground. So here's a third place where they needed it, all the way up on the roof. They needed it so that a person would know not to go by the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because even the Aliyah of the Kodesh HaKadoshim has that Kedusha that would prevent a person from going on top of it. The Rash quotes a Gemara in Yuma that there were two parochos that were on the aliyah in order to be mavdil ben kodesh and kodesh hakadoshim. So Tos Yantif says that over here it says that there were pispasin that were mavdil in the aliyah between the kodesh hakadoshim. So he says since the kedush aliyah of the kodesh hakadoshim is more chamor than the kodesh hakadoshim itself, there's such a line in the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says that which is, I guess, somewhat counterintuitive. You would imagine the kodesh hakadoshim, that's what we always talk about, but the aliyah al gabe the Kodesh HaKadoshim was more chamer than the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they would enter once a year. The aliyah's Kodesh HaKadoshim, they would not enter once a year. Not even once a year. It was only pamachas peshavua, once every 7 years perhaps. And some say twice every 7 years, some say once in a yovel. So they made an additional havdalah in the aliyah between aside from the parochas that generally split. So on the aliyah Sophia, and then in so they had Rashi Pispasin that were Mavdil in the Aliyah between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadashim. So good. So now Velulin Hayu Psuchin Ba'Aliyah the base Kodesh HaKadashim. They had these little entrance ways in the floor of the Aliyah that went down to the Kodesh HaKadashim. Shebenoy Mishal Shulin Asu Umanin, and that's where they would lower the workers to the Kodesh HaKadashim to check the if there were any cracks in the walls, if they needed to be misakin anything. And when they would lower the workers, it was betevos. It was in boxes that were that were surrounded on three sides with walls, so that they wouldn't be able kadesh liyazunu enayim mibeis kodesh hakadoshim, so that they wouldn't be able to enjoy the look of the kodesh hakadoshim, because they shouldn't get hana'a from the kedusha of the kodesh hakadoshim. Even though there is a concept that Rosh points out, kol marav reyachin behem yishum meila, it's not a violation of meila when it's just mara, when you're just enjoying the sight of something. So it's not mi'ila, but nevertheless, you're not allowed to be nena from Kodesh Bari'iya. It may not be mi'ila, but you're not allowed to, they were not allowed to be nena from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even Bari'iya, so they'd be lowered down in boxes, which were open only on one side, and that was the side that they needed to use in order to inspect, to do their job, to make sure that there were no cracks, or to see what needed to be fixed. Okay, now the Mishnah is going to Mishnah Vav, is going to discuss the measurements of the Heichal and the Ulam, and how we account for all of the Amos of the height of the Heichal. The Heichal, Meya al Meya al Rom Meya. The Heichal itself, together with the Ulam and with the Ta'im and with all of the walls, was 100 Amos by 100 Amos by 100 Amos. It was an exact cube of 100 Amos. Ha'otem, the Otem is the way many Rishonim understand, at least, is like the foundation, that the absolutely closed off, meaning you can't go into the foundation. Foundation is just an elevation that they have above the ground level, so the foundation itself was 6 Amos, was 6 Amos tall, which is quite a foundation. The Gova and the Arba Imama, and then the height of the Heichal itself, the inside of the Heichal itself, was 40 amos, va'amakir, and then there was an amma of large stones that were an amma thick that had decoration on it. It was engraved with the images of flowers that were in the walls. Va'amasayim beistilfa, and then 2 amos of beams that were machzik the walls and the tikra on top of it. Then va'amma tikra, then an amma of tikra of the ceiling, and the next va'amma maziva, and then an amma of stone and plaster and dirt that they put on the tikra, and then v'gova shel, which served as the floor of the aliyah, v'gova shel aliyah arba'im amma, and then another 40 amos for the height of the aliyah. The amakir, and then on top of the aliyah, they also had a roof, they also had a ceiling. So it was an amakir, and amasayim beistilfa, and amatikra, v'amamaziva. So you went through that same thing again in order to have a ceiling on top of the aliyah. So you had the amma of kiyar plus 2 amos of beistilfa plus another amma of tikra plus another amma of maziva. So that's another 5 amos. And then on top of that, on top of the gag, v'shalosh amos maka. There were 3 amos of a maka over the gag. And then on top of that, v'amakala orev, that there was an amma of spikes that would keep away the ravens throughout the entire gag of the Heichal. And and it was done in order to that Orvim shouldn't rest there, because that would be a terrible bizayon if the Orvim were to rest there. And they're not just terrible bizayon, they would bring Dvarim Temeim, the Rosh points out. And the Rosh quotes the Aruch that says that they made a tzura, like a scarecrow, in order to scare away the birds. They didn't want any birds bringing anything there. The Rambam writes that on top of the Makkah, on the four sides of the Heichal, there were barzelim chadim, these sharp metal objects, not objects, but sharp metal spikes that were one amma tall. Kadesh lo yeshvu shama arvim, so that arvim won't land there. If they would land there, then they would obviously get hurt. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yekala orev ola min amida ela arba amoshe maka. He says, no, there was kala orev there, but kala orev doesn't get counted as one of the 100 amos, because that wasn't really part of the binyan, meaning that was just something that was, those were spikes on top, that doesn't count as part of the binyan. So you have to say, to be mashlim, the 100 amos, is that the makkah itself was 4 amos and not 3 amos. So that's an interesting idea. Machlok es tanoim, whether the kala orev counts at all in cheshbening the binyan. Why is that an interesting discussion? Because there's a comment that the Magen Avraham has in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. Shulchan Aruch writes in Aruch Chaim, Siman Kuf Nun, that you're supposed to build a base of Knesset begova shalir. You're supposed to find the highest elevation, like on a hilltop, to build a base of Knesset. And your magbia, the base of Knesset, it should be the tallest building in the city. That the base of Knesset should stick out above the other buildings in the city, which again we were mekayim with great hidur a couple of doors down. But but that's a halacha, that it's supposed to be the highest building in the city. So the Rama writes that if the Beis HaKnesses is taller than the other Bateir in one corner, that's good enough. Meaning, let's say it's a slanted roof, and the top of the slant is higher than the other buildings of the city, even though the bottom of the slant is not higher than the other buildings of the city, the Rama writes that's good enough. So says the Magen Avraham that there are some people that elevate the Beis HaKnesses, that raise the height of the Beis HaKnesses by sticking a spike or a pole on top, like the Empire State Building, whatever, that they, one of the, what? Yeah, right, like an antenna, one that would just elevate height. Sometimes the builders will do that because they want to build the tallest building in the world, so in order to, or the tallest building in the city, but they, the cheshbened wrong and it's off, so they'll stick an antenna on top. Now it's the tallest building, so does that count? Says Magen Avraham that if you do that, that doesn't do anything. You have to be magbia, the actual bias itself. So in the Sefer Nezirah Shimshon, he suggests that's tali in this machlokas tonight. If you hold that the spikes add to the actual measurement of the binyan, so apparently a spike is good enough to add to the measurement of a binyan. But if you hold it doesn't, then you would say that the antenna would not count. Although there's makom lechalik, because it would turn out, I mean, it's machlokas tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda via lechora, we pass like tanakama. Tanakama says it does count, which would mean that we don't pass like the Magen Avraham, right? It would put the Magen Avraham on the wrong side of the halacha by the Magen Avraham saying that it's not okay. So you could suggest that there's a big difference between the two. Magen Avraham is talking about where you put one antenna, one spike, but maybe if that's part of the design of the actual rooftop and it goes around the entirety of the rooftop, that would in fact count as binyan. So either if it's meant for the purposes of design, or it's meant for it's something that goes throughout the entire rooftop and it's not just in one spot, one or the other of those things might be a good enough distinction to say that the Magen Avraham is correct about a single pole that adds no beauty, whereas we would still paskin like the Tanakama when it comes to the Kala Orev on top of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there is a discussion in Poskim, what would be considered something that adds beauty? Let's say you have a flagpole, and it has a flag at the end of it, so that's something that's noticeable, and it's something, so maybe that counts as something that adds beauty. Okay, so that, then, of course, you have the Poskim that say, but that's the Derech HaTziyonim, and, you know, so you have the classic debates that would follow from that. Okay, so let's go weiter now. Says the Mishnah Zayin, Mimizrach l'marav. Now, we said that it's 100 amos by 100 amos by 100 amos. So let's go from east to west. It was Meya Amma. It was 100 amos. So here's how we account for those 100 amos. Kosol ulam chamesh. The wall of the ulam itself is 100 amos. Vu ulam echadasar. The ulam is 11 amos. And then kosol hechal sheish. The wall of the hechal is 6 amos. Vitocho arba'im amma. The inside of the hechal is 40 amos. Ubein, and then you have amatraxin, and then between the Hechel and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was a space of one amma that was called the amatraxin, which Tosa says Tarek means a segira, that it's closed, and sin is Sinai, and it's telling us that it closes off the luchos that were given at Sinai. That's how it got the name Traxin. In the Bayis Rishon, the Amatraxin was binyan; it was an actual wall that was made out of binyan. And Bayis Sheni, they couldn't make it a wall because Bayis Rishon the heichal was only 30 amos high, so a 1 amo wide wall, 30 amos of height, would not be too wobbly. But Bayis Sheni was 40 amos high. So you couldn't build a 1 amma wide wall that was 40 amma high. So that's where they had parochos, that shtei parochos that were by the amma traxin in the Bayis Sheni. So there were, since parochos don't take up that much width, there was space in between the two parochos. But that's what that's how they filled in the amma traxin. That's when I once asked Rav Shachter about Rav Moshe's tshuva about a split parochos, Rav Moshe thought that Rav Moshe's tshuva in Hilchos Shabbos, that if you have a parochos with the design, is opening a split parochas that's going to ruin the design of the lettering, whether that's a violation of Kosev and Mochek on Shabbos that you're writing or erasing. But then Rav Moshe just throws in a line at the end of the Tshuva where he says, it's never been the Minhag Yisrael anyway, so it's a violation of our Mesorah to come up with a parochas that's a split parochas. The Minhag Yisrael was always to have one parochas. So Rav Shachter didn't understand that part of the Tshuva. He said, I understand. How can he say that? It's never been. Everything we do in the Beis HaKnesses is patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. The parochas in the Beis HaMikdash that would close off the luchos was two parochos. That's it was a double parochos. It wasn't side by side. It was back and forward. But nevertheless, it was a double parochos. But that was by the Amatraxin. And then you have the Esrim Amma based Kodesh HaKadoshim. You have the 20 Amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then you have Kosol HaHechal Sheish. The wall of the Hechal was 6 Amos. Va'ta Sheish. And 6 Amos of Ta. V'Kosol HaTa Chamesh. And 5 Amos of the Kosel of the Ta. So that was the 100 amos along the length of the heichal. Now the 100 amos of the width of the heichal. Minatzafel ledarom shivim amma. Wait, shivim amma? I thought everything was supposed to be 100. Yeah, because now we're going to describe the heichal not counting the ulam. The ulam extended 15 amos on either side of the heichal. So when we said that it was 100 amos wide, that meant from the ulam, but it narrowed as it went in. And the Mishnah will describe why that's the case. That was why that was by design to specifically narrow as you go further west, as you go further in. So we only need to account for 70 amos, because the last 30 will be easy to account for. That's the extra 15 that the ulam extends on either side. So minatzafon ledarom shivim amma, kosel hamasiba, the chamesh, the kosel of the aliyah that would go up to the gagos and the ta'im was 5 amos, v'amasiba shalosh, the masiba itself was 3 amos, kosel ha'ta chamesh, the walls of the ta were 5 amos, v'ata sheish, the ta itself was 6 amos, kosel ha'echal sheish, the walls of the heichal were 6 amos, v'tocho esrim amma, and the width of the heichal itself was 20 amos. So v'kosel ha'echal sheish, then on the other side the wall of the heichal was 6 amos, v'ata sheish, and the ta on the other side was 6 amos, v'kosel ha'ta chamesh, the wall of the ta on the other side was 5 amos, and then Ubeis Haradas Hamayim Shalosh Amos. There was a place that was behind the Kosel HaTa that was called the Beis Haradas Hamayim, that they had pipes that went in there that would bring water to the Yamsha Asa Shlomo. Shlomo Melech made a yam. He made a pool of water in the Beis Hamikdash, and that was that area was Shalosh Amos, VaKosel Chamesh Amos, and the outer wall, the southernmost wall, was another 5 Amos. HaUlam Odef Alav, the ulam extended beyond the Heichal, Chamesh Esrei Amos Min HaTzafon, VeChamesh Esrei Amos Min HaDarom, 15 Amos on the north and 15 amos from the south, and that's why 70 plus those 30 is how you arrive at the 100 amos. Then v'huaya nikra pesach halifos. There was this empty area, obviously, if the ulam extended 15 amos, so on the sides of the heichal there were 15 extra amos where there was nothing there. So that's where they had these little cubbies that they called the Beis HaChalifos, Shesham Gonzim Esasakinim, where they would put away their knives in those cubbies on the western wall of the Ulam, which faced nothing as far as the Heichal was concerned, because the Heichal was, as we said, much narrower. The Heichal Tsar Me'achorah V'rachav Milfanav. And this was by design, the Mishnah says, that the Heichal should specifically be narrow Me'achorah and wider Milfanav. V'doma La'ari, similar to a lion, Shnemar Hoy Ariel Kiryas Chana David, that the Beis HaMikdash is an Ariel. So why is the Beis HaMikdash Doma La'ari? Ma'ari Tsar Me'achorah V'rachav Milfanav. Just like a lion, that's the shape of his body, that it's tsar me'achorav and rachav milfanav, that it widens as it goes forward, so too the heichal has a similar shape. So in order to give that image of a lion, that's why it's shaped in that way. Okay, last parak now of Maseches Midos. Now we're going to get to the entire Azara and its measurements and the lishkos of the Azara. Kol Azara isa orach me'oshmanav the Azara in its entirety was 187 amos by 135 amos. So we're going to go through the length of the Azara first. Min haMizrach l'Maariv, going from east to west along its length, was Me'ev Shmonim Sheva. If a Sheva is 187 amos. Makom Drisos Ragli Yisrael Achasas Reyam. First you have the area where Yisrael was allowed to enter, even Shalol Litzorech, meaning there he's allowed to go beyond this area when it's Litzorech, as we pointed out yesterday, I think. But Shalol, the Ezra's Kohanim, he's allowed to go when it's Litzorech. But Shalol Litzorech, he's allowed to go to the Ezra's Yisrael. That's 11 Amos. Then you have Makom Drisos HaKohanim, what we call the Ezra's Kohanim. That was also a Chas Esrei Amos. That was an additional 11 Amos. And the Kohanim were allowed to go in those 11 Amos. That's why it's called the Ezra Kohanim. And then Mizbeach Shlosh Mishtayim, the Mizbeach itself is 32 Amos, and Beinu Ulam La Mizbeach Esra Mishtayim Amma, and then between the Ulam and the Mizbeach is another 22 Amos. HaHechal Mea Amma, the Hechal, as we just said, is 100 Amos. And then V'achas Esra Se'ama La'chorei Beis HaKaporis, and then behind the Kodesh HaKadashim, behind the Beis HaKaporis, is another 11 Amos. And that's how you get to your 187 Amos lengthwise going from east to west in the Heichal. What about going from north to south? So Minatzaf on the Darum, what about going across the Heichal? So when we describe going from north to south, Me'a Ushlosh Mechamish, that is 135 Amos. Minakevesh V'la Mizbeach Shisha Mishtayim. So first of all, we start from the beginning of the ramp until the end of the Mizbeach, so that itself is 62 Amos. Why is that 62 Amos? The Mizbeach itself is 32 Amos. The Kevesh, we said, is 32 Amos. So the Chorot should have been 64 Amos. So that's a kash that the Gemara Masechta Zvachim raises. And the Gemara says, no, it was only 62 Amos, because 2 Amos of the Kevesh were Muvla Bishtei Amos Shalom Mizbeach, meaning it overlapped the 2 Amos of the Mizbeach, because the Kevesh had to arrive all the way at the top of the Mizbeach, and the top of the Mizbeach was 2 Amos narrower than the bottom of the Mizbeach, because you have the Yesod and you have the Sovev. So that's why it's 62 Amos to the top of the Kevesh and the Mizbeach combined. Umin haMizbeach leTaba'os, between the Mizbeach and the Taba'os, which were the rings that were kavua in the karka of the Azara, where they would lock down the animal's neck when they shechted it, was Shmona Amos. That was 8 Amos, and they needed 8 Amos of space between the Mizbeach and the Taba'os, even though normally you would only need 4 Amos of passageway, because it was very busy. There were a lot of Raglei Kohanim that were there, so it was needed a wider hallway kind of feel. Makom HaTaba'os, Esrim V'Arba. And then the space that the Taba'os themselves took up was 24 Amos. Min HaTaba'os LaShulchanos, from the Taba'os to the Shulchanos, to the marble tables that they would be Madiach the Kirbayim, that they would rinse out the insides of the animal, was Arba, was 4 Amos. Min HaShulchanos LaNanosin, from the Shulchanos to the small posts where they would hang the animal when they would skin it, was Arba, was another 4 Amos. Min HaNasin LaKosal HaZara, and from those small posts to the northern wall of the Azara was Shmona Amos, was 8 Amos, Vamoser, and what was left of the 135 Amos of the width of the Azara was Ben HaKevesh L'Kosel, Makom HaNasin, was between the ramp and the southern wall of the Azara and the Makom HaNasin, and the place that the Nanasin themselves took up, which we hadn't accounted for previously. So whatever's missing, you just split that difference between the space up until where the ramp of the Mizbeach started, and the space that the Nanasim themselves took up. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. Sheish l'shachos hayu ba'azara. There were 6 l'shachos in the Azara. Tiferes Yisrael points out that the Mishnah is only going to list those l'shachos that were benuyos bekarka Azara, that were built on the ground level of the Azara, not the l'shachos that were benuyos ba'aliyah. So that's why Lishkos Beis Haftinas is not going to be mentioned, because it was benuyos ba'aliyah on top of the Sharamayim. We also don't mention the Lishka that was al-gabi Lishkos HaParva, where they had the Beis HaTevila. And we don't mention the Lishkos of the Beis HaMokad, because they didn't open directly into the Azara. They opened into the Beis HaMokad, which then in turn opened into the Azara. We don't mention the Lishkos of Sechavitan and the Lishkos Pinchas HaMalbish that were next to the Sharni Kanar, because they were built into the width of the wall of the Azara. So even though they were open into the Azara, you can't say they were benuya, that they were benuyos be'azara. They were, since they were in the width of the wall and not in the airspace of the Azara itself. So that brings us down to only 6 that the Mishnah is going to mention, once you disqualify most of the l'shachos. So sheish l'shachos hayu ba'azara. There were 6 l'shachos in the Azara. Shalosh b'tzafon v'shalosh b'darom. 3 in the north and 3 in the south. Shebetzafon, and the ones in the north were lishchas hamel, Lishkas HaParva, and Lishkas HaMadichin. What did each of these do? So here we go. Lishkas HaMelech, the Lishkas HaMelech, as its name suggests, Shamayin Nelson, Melech LaKarban. That's where they would keep the salt for the Karban. Lishkas HaParva, Shamayu Molchin Oros Kadshim. They didn't keep the salt, but that's where they did the actual salting of the hides of the Kadshim. And on top of that, on its rooftop, there was a Tevila for the Kohen Gadol, a mikvah for the Kohen Gadol to be tovel on Yom HaKippurim. And the name Parva, there's a Gemara in Yuma discusses Parva is Amgusha. Rashi says it's a Mechashev who built the Beis HaParva. So there's a discussion what exactly happened, what that story was. There's different versions of the story of this Mechashev that tried to get his way in to be able to see the Avodas Kohen Gadol, and he was killed there, and that's why it's named after him, to teach a lesson. Or he was the one that designed to be able to have a mikvah up there, which involved some sort of, not actual kishuv, but they would say, and how they built the mikvah on that rooftop, they would be like, he was a magician to be able to get the water there and to be able to build such a mikvah. So different interpretations of exactly what happened over there and why it's called Lishkos Beis HaParva. Okay, but then you have Lishkos HaMadichin, Sheshamayim Madichin Kirvei HaKadshim. Lishkos HaMadichin is where they would rinse off the Kirvei HaKadshim, the insides of the karbanos. Umisham Mesiba Olo L'Gaga Parva. And there was a Mesiba, was a staircase that went to the roof of the Beis HaParva. Mishnah Dalid, Shabadarim Lishkos HaEitz, Lishkos HaGola, Lishkos HaGazas. And then on the south side, there were 3 other Lishkos, Lishkos HaEitz, Lishkos HaGola, and Lishkos HaGazas. Lishkos HaEitz, Amar Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, Shachachti Mayas HaMishameshes. So again, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, since he's the redactor of the entire Masechta, so that's why he has to tell us when he forgot what it's, because he's the one that taught us all of Mitos. So normally, if you have a Tana that didn't know something, he just didn't say something. But here, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is the one that's telling us the entire Masechta. So he tells us
he's the Bal Midos.
Yes, he's telling us, as I said, when we started Midos, first thing you need to know is this is not about character traits, it's about the measurements of the basement. Abishalom or Lishkos Kohen Gadol Haisa Achoreshtein, that the Lishkos Kohen Gadol, where they would put the Kohen Gadol during the week before Yom Kippur to prepare, was behind Lishkos HaGadol and Lishkos HaGazis, Vigag Shlosh and Shava. But Lishkos HaGadol, Lishkos HaGazis, and Lishkos Kohen Gadol had one even rooftop on the top, so you wouldn't be able to know when you're on top of which. Lishkos HaGadol hagola, the lishchas hagola, shamaya bor kavua. There was a bor in it, vagalgal nosan alav, and it had a wheel that you could lower a bucket down, mishama speaker mayim, lekala azara, and that provided the water that they needed for the entire azara. And then you have the lishchas hagazis, which is a very large lishcha, shamayis sanhedrin gedola shel Yisrael yosheves, vidona esakuhuna. It's so fascinating. Lishchas hagazis is where the Sanhedrin sat and did everything. They were done everything. But Vidona Esakuhuna, apparently the Rambam writes this way, the majority of what they did was to assess the yichus of each Kohen before he began the Avodah. And then, in between, you know, in the Bein HaSedarim, they would deal with all the major shailas that no one else was able to handle, or the all the things that the first Mishnah Masech Sanhedrin says that requires the Sanhedrin HaGadol to deal with. But primarily what they were doing was assessing the yichus of various kohanim. The coin shnimtzu b'psul lo v'shchar mesatif shchar v'yotzev v'holich lo shlon v'yotzev v'holich lo. If a kohen was found to be puzzled, was declared to be puzzled, he'd dress in black and he would go out, you know, b'chafei rosh, so to speak. V'shalon nimtzu b'psul, but if he was found to have good yichus, lo v'shlevanim u'mesatif levanim, he would dress in white, nichnos v'mashami shemecha v'kohanim, and he would go do the avoda with his fellow kohanim, v'yom tov v'yu osim, and the day that a kohen was found, was certified to be kosher, he'd make a party and he'd be modet HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalonimtzu psul b'zaru shel Aron HaKohen, that wasn't found to be pasul. V'kach ha'yomrim baruch ha'makom baruch hu shalonimtzu psul b'zaru shel Aron u'baruch hu shebachar b'aron v'banav lama l'shoyis l'fnei Hashem b'beis kadshei HaKadoshim hadron l'chal ha'zor slik l'am Maseches Midos. Tomorrow we begin Maseches Nida.